Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I am Leona Abraham Brando, host for Blog Talk Radio, Shedding Light. Lawrence Drink, also known as Sparky Lee, is back to speak on topics many in society rarely think about or may not even be aware of. Lawrence will be speaking from knowledge deriving from his own years of experience behind the prison walls as well as in the communities, with no appropriate medical and or psychological treatment while incarcerated. I know of one surgeon who has gone along with the prison officials in the inappropriateness of surgeries leaving prisoners they perform surgery on handicapped permanently. In addition, long-term sentencing, it is the very reason why mass incarceration in the United States. Many individuals cannot be confined to small cages for years without being affected in some way. Additionally, there are many individuals who are already suffering from claustrophobic symptoms before even being sentenced to prison, an extreme fear of confined places. With these pre-existing problems, we have some distraction on the air with us. I'm sorry, I don't know which one it is that's making it. But let's welcome Lawrence Drink. Lawrence, are you on with us?
I am. How are you doing, Leona?
Good. We're getting some interference or some distraction in the background, so I would like to have anyone that is not going to be speaking at the time to mute yourself, and then when you do speak, you can unmute. So, Lawrence,
okay, so
I was just going to say, if you want to start off with talking to the audience about what you have been doing and what you're all about and some of the things that you'd like to get out there. If you have anyone that you want to introduce as well with us on the air, we have quite a few, 727-946. We have...
I believe that's Melissa.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We have 626. We have 111. So, if you want to introduce yourself, everyone, please feel free to do so.
So I don't know how many are on here, but I'm Melissa. I'm with a Warrior Within Project, just outside the nation's capital in Northern Virginia.
Okay, either someone is outside or someone's breathing pretty hard on heavy on the phone. If anyone is outside, let me know what the last four numbers are of the number so I can put it on you.
I'm driving right now, I'm in the car.
Oh,
so
maybe
it might be
that's,
easy.
Hold on a second. Let me see if that's you. No.
Okay.
Okay, Lawrence, it's not you. Hold on.
Okay, that's victory.
Yeah. And I'm outside. I'm not outside, but I'm at a park, but my windows are...
Okay. It's not you. Let's see. Okay, hold on one second. Okay, Lawrence and Melissa, I'm going to unmute the two of you. Okay.
Okay. I want to thank everybody that called in today. Thank you so much for the support. I mean, that's just huge right there, just taking the time out of your day to listen on Mother's Day. And I want to wish every woman out there and every sister and daughter out there a happy Mother's Day. And I hope that... you know, you get to spend the time with your loved one. If you don't, you get the memories of celebrating today.
Hi, Leona. This is Christine.
Oops. How are you, Christine?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I hope that you have some things to say, too. So I'm going to let Lawrence stop the show, and I'm going to have him after he speaks. If all of you want to make some comments, Christine, I know that you were pretty verbal the last time, so I'd love to hear from you again as well. So Melissa, Christine, Lawrence, Samantha, go for it.
Hell, thank you so much. Once again, I just want to thank everybody for your support, just listening And so my name is Lawrence Drank. I'm also known as Sparky Lee on Facebook. We are currently as Legacy Programs and Education and Reentry. And we are all about letting your voice be heard. We are about putting you out there and wanting you to express what you got going on, to give people resources and an opportunity to help and assist any way they can. I did 20 years in California State Prison. I grew up in foster homes and group homes since the age of 9. Everyone knows my story, where I grew up in an abusive home with my mother and her drug habit. And so I have all this, had all this trauma going into prison, and it just kind of really self-fed that image of myself. And I created a monster through the years, and I conditioned myself under these terms and conditions. And so when I went to prison, I was very angry, frustrated. I went to prison for a crime I did not commit. And so now I'm out, and I'm advocating for not only just the incarcerated, but the family members. I advocate for the victims. I advocate for just the healing of a process of a messed up system. And so I just want to welcome everybody and thank you so much. I started Legacy Programs 90 days out into my release, and I figured that we could stand more for the communities. So we're, like right now we're doing cards for the incarcerated, and letting our loved ones know that they are loved, thought of, and not forgotten. Mm-hmm. Just because they're not seen, I mean, they're not heard. And as Melissa said earlier, you know, we have a "come as you are" mentality. That's how we address the situation. So everyone pretty much knows what I'm about. I really want to thank Melissa. She has a wonderful project, a wonderful organization, and I just really want to – I think everyone should be part of this. Go ahead, Melissa.
Thank you, and thank you so much for the opportunity to even be here today. Just a little bit more about me, and happy Mother's Day to everybody. I have not been able to be blessed as a mom, but I've been a mom in my own right, my friends at different times, different family members. I think we all play that role in some shape or form, some of us for our dogs and pets. So happy Mother's Day to everybody, and I hope everybody is spending it with somebody they love or doing something they enjoy. So before I was in Project, it's kind of where my passion and purpose met. I really hit the ground running with it about 6 months ago, but I've been putting it together, I guess, since I was an adolescent. Much like most of us, I come from an adverse childhood, filled with adverse trauma response and systems, whether that be family or friends, education, I was in the juvenile detention center myself. I had a couple run-ins over the years, more like arrests, and then even being arrested as a victim and not having my voice heard. Basically, and then being the daughter of two parents who did the best they could with the knowledge and experience they had at that point. And I love them for it, and I always did. And society and everybody else told me I shouldn't because my mom was mentally ill because of her traumas. And also, both parents come from a history of sexual assault as a child, child abuse, neglect. Many of us, I feel, in some way, shape, or form, have neglect, abandonment issues, or what society calls mommy or daddy issues. We all do. We're all children out here doing the best we can. Some of us weren't afforded the opportunities to go to school and get certifications and degrees, but our life experience is so valuable because we know how to survive. Not that the others don't. I just believe that, you know, when you're not afforded those options, you have to figure out a different way. And with that comes a very special and empowering strength. And every single one of us has that in ourselves. Some of us are misunderstood chronic helpers who, by negative trauma response, you know, we take our next step and then we're judged by different labels. And my whole project is about, much like yours, is about an overall healing, a come as you are, History matters. It does. But the fact is we're all human beings. I have done advocacy all my life, mental health especially, because I had to teach myself the DSM-5 to understand what I was going through with my own mom. Memory illness, cancer, hospice care, medical, 10 years old, 9 years old, I was part of the Free Elizabeth Morgan movement out of Washington, D.C., that saved a child, freed a mother, and put the law the right way. Justice was served. Laws were changed. Racial injustices, LGBTQ advocacy, and most recently my legal my advocacy in legal injustice. Because I don't know, I'm sure y'all at some point in your time have had to try to get help for someone or yourself and had to go by a label that society put on you, whether that be mental health, inmate, homeless. I've been homeless multiple times, childhood that led to it in my adulthood. And those labels, they just, the stigma that comes with it is, it's debilitating. It makes processes longer. People don't have a lot of understanding with certain you know, labels, and I think that's all across the board. But if we can just drop those labels, unite in the fact that if you struggle, I struggle. Racial injustice, that's my injustice too. You know, medical, mental, and judicial injustice, absolutely. I'll light a candle for every one of them. But ultimately, we have got to figure out, well, first off, you know, 2020, what's coming out of 2020 and the COVID chaos, it's on the forefront for every single one of us, our mental health sustainability. And I've been a walking, talking example of failed systems from family members that didn't speak up for me as a child, not for anything other than, you know, they knew not what they did at that point. We all do the best we can. And once we can realize and drop loving from a defensive heart, you know, society tells us, you know, don't love those that hurt you. Well, it's not that simple, because everybody hurts somebody at some point, and it doesn't mean that they are any less deserving of love, care, support, and human rights. So that's kind of the basis of where I come from. Where I'm at right now is with the Warrior Within Project. I believe that self-value, imperative to taking better steps in life. But I don't know about y'all, but my self-value, it turns out, once I peeled back some layers, I found that my self-value actually mirrored my mom's. And my mom's, hers only got to be cigarettes and soda. That's how she survived. If she had that, she could get through whatever. And she did in her own way. She survived all her life. And I did everything I could to save her, to be enough for her to do better. And that turned into codependency as an adult, chronic codependency. I knew how to help you, but I could not help myself. And I was just, I ended up being misunderstood. I ended up gaining additional labels. And I, at one point I thought I was here to suffer. I felt my purpose in life was to suffer many, many traumas, some that seemed back to back, but just utter chaos through a lifetime since, you know, as young as 4 that I can remember. I thought that I was here so my friends could have somebody to relate to, because people came to me at all walks of life with some of their deepest, darkest secrets. And I was able to whatever I give off of, whatever it was, I let them know they were safe and that they had a voice, and I valued it because it mattered. And excuse me, I just need to take a sip of water here. And water, let me tell you, that's something that I didn't know. I mean, I knew I should be drinking, but it's not that I was programmed that way. And matter of fact, I am now a salad eating, water drinking, speaking life as often as I can in every way, but especially to the deepest, darkest night, just like that Toby Mac song. But we've got to start now. We've already lost so much time in being a reactive versus preventive society. And Every one of us is suffering because of that. Once we stand and unite and realize that we are all brothers and sisters, regardless of race, religion, gender, any of that, or your preferences, regardless, we are all human beings. We are all familiar with pain and hurt. The majority of us have traumas we don't speak of because we're afraid to, or we feel too vulnerable because at times that we did, that vulnerability was taken advantage of or trampled on, and that makes people calloused. And then they forget who they are. And when you forget who you are, you forget what self-love really is. I never knew self-love was more about, you know, I had shopping addictions because I thought that was self-love. I had coffee addictions I thought was self-love, and many other ill-serving ideas that I thought were fulfilling things, and they weren't, because all my life I poured from an empty cup. I lost over and over again for those I loved, and down to my relationships. I'm also a victim of domestic violence, but at the end of the day, because of my upbringing, I know that mental health does not define us. And once we look at mental health as a spectrum, we can really relate a little bit more, because there's absolutely gray area in every situation. Everyone's story matters. And for many years, many of us felt like we didn't have a voice because maybe somebody didn't protect us when we were a kid or as an adult or what have you. The fact is, we're all life soldiers. Life experience matters. Self-love is where it starts. And I never believed that. Some people are like, oh, that's narcissistic or not biblical. Well, actually, it really truly is. Because you cannot do anything for anybody else, including yourself, until you are together. I had to reprogram myself. I couldn't afford fancy doctors and rehabilitation centers and big medical coverage. And that's where the survival comes in, is I just knew that at the point I had come to light in life, I had been miserable for way too long. My suffering had to be for something more. I had to believe that. I couldn't believe I was only here to deal with, you know, bipolar disorder and dissociative disorders and so much suffering, but it really did come full circle for me. All my suffering was for a purpose. I found that through self-love, valuing myself, appreciating what I truly actually have the capability of doing. Things that, I mean, eating healthy, I struggled with my weight all my life. Eating healthy, I get it, but whatever subconsciously was going on with me, I still, you know, found solace in my Coca-Cola or my on-the-go eating, which just costs more money. And there's so much. You get uphill, you slide back. You get uphill, you slide back. If you don't have money or you come from a lot of adversity, you just have to survive. And many of us don't get the opportunity to turn that into thriving. But my project, A Warrior Within, can show a lot of people, every one of us has that ability. We can mentally sustain ourselves in the aspect, not that we don't need the system, but the system, it's been broken for generations, many generations at that. And after 2020, we don't have a great shot at the system sustainability. And I can't, you know, if you join my page or whatever, you'll see some of the detailed struggles in that, where the mental health system has failed me in, it relates to the DOC, Department of Corrections. And we need to start on the ground. So my whole thing is, we have got to relate for it to resonate. We have got to let everybody know, no matter what your background is or what your fight is, it matters, because it's my fight too, somewhere down the line, or if it hasn't already been. And once we start communicating with the people who are in our lives from the beginning, or even just in our lives now, we slowly but surely can get to the core of us and putting together the pieces that help us propel in life. You got to put good stuff in your body. A lot of us haven't done that. I didn't do it for 30-some-odd years. but I did decide to start
one day and I realize that a work in progress, that's all right too. And I might not have a lot of certifications. I do have some, but I might not have a lot of certifications. I don't have a college degree. But my life experience, it has not just taught me and guided me, but it has helped others. I mean, dozens and dozens. I've been I call myself a lost soul magnet, and that was one too, a lost soul, because I forgot how to dream as a child. I don't know if you guys can relate. Did you all get a chance to dream young, or do you remember what your dreams were?
Christine, I'd like to say one thing, and I want to thank you for bringing this up. You mentioned you don't have a degree, but life experience. Life experience,
right,
to me is much more golden. It's much more valuable than a piece of paper that's acquired in college. With your life experience, you would make a perfect social worker, or you would make a perfect psychologist, because a lot of people, they get that piece of paper, but they don't get that experience. They don't know how to deal with people who have gone through those things. So I want to thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you said something about Christine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was I? Who was just speaking? Melissa?
I mean, I'm Melissa. I was just speaking about A Warrior Within, but I thought you had said something to Christine about her speaking or something.
No, it was, who was just speaking? I'm sorry. I might have gotten the two of you confused.
My name's Brady.
Who was it that said they didn't have a degree?
Melissa, that's me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought it was Christine. And Brady, I want to welcome you back again as well.
Thank you. I know I joined quite a little late, and I apologize for, I didn't quite get your name, and I got it now. So I thank you for that. I just wanted to say, on behalf of Legacy Programs, you know, thank you everybody who is listening and tuning in. And I really appreciate you speaking out right now and speaking up and telling your story of what you went through. It takes a brave soul, especially on Mother's Day, of all days of the year. You take the one day out of your time to have a heart to help those in need and spare a moment. And God bless you, first of all. And what I'm talking about, second of all, is, and I'll sum it up because I'm here to listen. You know, I take in intriguingly because of what I've been through. But that's another day. You know, I just right now I'm just pretending I'm on a vacation, and that you know, each one teach one is what my brother always says.
Amen.
And your voice really just taught a lot of people something, honestly. God says that we go through the bad and the good and the ugly for a reason, that his hands are always in the situation, that no matter what you're going through, that you put your faith and your trust in him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that you can't do. Because you are his child. And the things that you walked through, the things you got dragged through, the things that were told to you as a human being, yet a mother, you know, is beyond life, is beyond myself and inflicted wounds and you know, the cuts that you despaired. I know I'm rambling on and going on again what you have said, but I'm telling you that, oh my gosh, I can only relate because of what I went through, you know,
and
it's not my time right now. I'm not ready to shine.
Everyone on this radio show right now, I'm listening to all of you, and you all have negative experiences that you went through, and it goes right back to what Melissa was saying. Sometimes people think that what they're going through is disastrous. But you know what, God turns it around, because what all of you are talking about right now, you're going to be encouraging other people to open up and talk about their situations as well. What Melissa's talking about, basically, is she's bringing out what happened with her. She's talking about it, and she speaks very educated, and she's talking about not having a degree, but she doesn't need it. No one needs a degree. And the colleges and universities are making all kinds of money off of people to give them a piece of paper that doesn't entitle them to actually be a professional unless they've lived some of it. And all of you on the show now are victims who turned it around and are doing so many positive things by being on this show and by talking about your experiences. So I'm going to let you get back to what you were saying, Melissa, and then turn it over to Lawrence to do whatever with it after that.
Sure. And thank you. And to everybody that just spoke, I've been teary-eyed, getting rolling chills over here. I will say at the top of it all, it did not come full circle to me until I finally came to – it's so powerful, I can't even truly put it into words, but I came to a point where I do – now know that I have, you know, Jesus within me every step of the way. I do know that I didn't respect I knew I had a faith. Many of us maybe didn't get to go to church either. You know, the normal structure, the normal fundamentals. So we found our God and our peace in nature. Maybe we found it playing music. Maybe whatever it was that you know, it gave you chills or it gave you fire. We all probably had some kind of knowledge of a greater power, a greater being. I had a faith. Only thing I could understand that could pull me through some of the fiery flames that I walked through, that many of us have. But when I fully knew that I was putting good stuff in my body, I was speaking life and putting my advice for the first time, putting my own advice into play for myself, not just talking about it. I turned what could have been considered preaching to testimony. And I have seen every step. You have to become self-aware. You know, you got to clear the toxins. That means people, placing things. What's toxic? What? Are you surrounded by people that are putting negative stuff in your mind? You know, sometimes we got to break away, even though it hurts. Sometimes we got to break away, clear the fog, and reassess ourselves in the situation and realize that we are important. That, you know, I found in my own case studies asking people, do you think you can save the world? So many people rebutted instead of, you know, saying an affirmative yes. Well, how do you mean? Or, well, kind of, you know. And if that is so, it's so simple. And, you know, we in society and other systems, we've complicated it over time, but it's simple. You put good stuff in your body. You clear the toxins. You have belief in that greater power, that spirituality. For me, that was knowing Jesus is really walking with me. Footprints in the Sand is, I guess, Footprints in the Sand and Serenity Prayer are some of my regular inputs of Jesus in my life. And that's how I kind of raised myself in my faith. But up until recent experience with my ex, he actually came out of prison and wanted to start a prison ministry, and we got together with the hopes and dreams of starting his ministry, Cabin in the Mountains, all that, you know, beautiful stuff. But I myself wasn't as ready as I thought. I was still walking in darkness. And when I say darkness, I just mean I was not a living positive example in every way. I could tell you what I should have been doing. But for whatever excuse or not excuse, more so explanation, I didn't. But once I realized that, things literally became beautiful and fruiting, but I couldn't with him. And we were loving from defensive hearts. And I'm sure we all can relate. And I think that this relates, most of us even, is a relationship with somebody that we absolutely loved, but they hurt us. Maybe it was infidelity. Maybe it was words. Maybe it was physical violence. or whatever else. We end up loving from a defensive heart, often like how you, you know, many of us can take advice outside of our spouse and we take it a little differently from our immediate spouse. And that's loving from a defensive heart because that person has hurt us. So even when they speak of good intentions, if it's about us, we automatically kind of shut it down. Not totally. We hear maybe, but we don't truly listen and let it resonate, which was the case for me and this gentleman. We both hurt each other in different ways. My heart is an undivided heart. I've always loved from it. It's because it's what I've known how to do. Like you guys, I'm sure we live by instinct. And much like the old saying, you know, your instinct and you come to the adapt and improvise and then you overcome. And every one of us really can overcome no matter your background, no matter how cloudy it seems. You truly can decide if you want to see the light. I didn't know that for a long time. Again, it comes down to self-worth, self-value, and appreciation. Know that you're worth healthy eating. Know that you're worth a faith in Christ. Know that you are worth good things, clean clothes, food, a roof over your head. Society and labels over and over again tell us that we're not. So it's hard to really understand your self-worth. That's why we have people, yeah, and not that there's anything bad with some of us. We do the best we can till we do better. And if we choose not to do better once we know better, then you can consider yourself on a spectrum somewhere in mental health, adversity. I mean, if you know better and you don't take a better step, we all have to admit like that, something's off. You know, maybe nobody's asking you how your day is. Maybe your mom's too sick to take care of you and get you ready for school. Or maybe you lose everything in storage and somehow you still have to make a way. Maybe that happens five times over. Maybe you're homeless. Maybe you find yourself having a career that leads to addiction, that leads to losing everything, including the ones you love. You've got to drop that defensive heart.
I'd like to ask sure. if anyone has any feedback that they want to, you know, get in there as well.
Yes,
does anyone
please.
Have any feedback to what Melissa has been saying? No? So, Melissa, why don't you just keep going on then, because no one seems to want to say anything, so you have the show.
I'm sorry. I'm getting the feedback a little bit slower than usual, but it might be the connection. You know, your story, it's so heart-rending and it pierces your heart just to hear you speak. It does me. I don't know about Lawrence. I don't know about anybody out there who's listening or who's hearing, or, you know, but you know, losing your valuables, starting over, you know, over and over and over in the foster care system, I'll tell you something, that it's, you don't know who to call mom.
Yep.
You don't really know. You don't know who to say thank you to. You don't know who to open your arms to. Because you've been battered, you've been beaten, you've been thrown down, you've been tossed away, you've been created as a monster.
And you know, I'd like to say something about that too. You know, what all of you have been through, getting back to the government, because, I mean, Lawrence has the Legacy Program, and I think it's an excellent program to website, a Facebook page to go to. And put down your stories. Get it on the Legacy Program because that's what it's all about. And this is a way of letting people know how everyone feels. And then go back to the very beginning. Okay, so many people are taken from their homes and put into foster care. Foster care like prison, sometimes they don't get, there's no oversight. You know, sometimes a social worker will put somebody in foster care, and then you don't see the social worker for months and months at a time. And I'm a social worker, and I know how it works sometimes with other people. But the thing is, going back to the failures of a lot of people that get in, placed in foster care, they sometimes get violated in these foster homes. Sometimes they get physically abused. Sometimes they get murdered. And this is sad. So what I feel in a foster home, what I feel is a social worker needs to go beyond the call of duty and ensure that these children are not removed from their homes, but that they are receiving the treatment that they need. The social workers may need to take a parent that they expect to go for counseling, drive them to the counselor, because a lot of these parents, single parents especially, most likely do not have a way to get there, or they'll use that excuse for not getting there. A caring and compassionate social worker is going to take that. They're going to take their time. They're going to take their client to their counseling session.
That's exactly what happened growing up. You're saying it. Keep going.
Yeah.
This is why so many social service agencies have been sued, and this is why so many foster care children have grown up to commit crimes and end up in prison, or they have ended up dying, or they have ended up coming out and on the streets. These are the things that we need to prevent. We live in a system in the United States where it's so much about money and power and greed and fame and all of these things, that all of these government officials, all of these departments, they're so full of it because they're not doing crap. They're just taking the easy way out. Just like all these prisons, we have a pandemic in this country of mental illnesses and addictions. Instead of putting these people in long-term residential treatment facilities, they throw them all in prisons like they're garbage, like they're cattle. Exactly. This government is making all kinds of – prisons are making all kinds of money on the blood, sweat, and tears of so many other people. This is what it's all about. This is what needs to be discussed right now. Go to the legacy program and put all your stories out there, and then start calling these politicians and letting them know, these lawmakers, that they're the failures. They're the ones that are causing it. And somebody needs to get their ass off on these prisons, these Department of Corrections around the country, and they need to start overseeing the damage that they're doing to human beings.
And how that goes to our frontline communities, because it is your neighbors. It's your neighbor's kids. It's your cousin. It's DOC is in all of our lives. It was in when I was young at 5 years old and talking to my dad through the glass, to my ex-boyfriend being mistreated with a live medical need right now in ADC 2 years after being released with no structure and nobody.
See, you're saying mistreated. That goes a thousand yards beyond football fields of skating. Being abused, there's different types of abuse. There's sexual abuse. There's mental abuse. Physical abuse. You said something about, and you know, it just really hits home. And this whole thing.
So now the judicial
system's fault. It's the fat cat's fault. When you go to prison, you don't get a choice.
Exactly.
So you're going to try to be happy. You're trying to make yourself happy in prison, or you're trying to make yourself happy in life. And you start doing things and saying things and speaking out and not knowing what you're doing. And now you're getting in trouble at school. And now you're getting in trouble with the law. And now you're doing something that you have no idea what you're doing. But you're doing it.
Yeah.
And where did it start?
A failed trauma response. That's where it starts. A failed trauma response, or an adverse trauma response by society, by our families, by...
Everybody was hurt by it. Everybody gets hurt. It's not just one person, people. It's everybody. Everybody gets hurt. Like you're telling us. Your story is just, my goodness. You know, everybody gets hurt. Everybody's affected by it.
Now, I'm going to add something else, just so everybody knows. We also need to blame ourselves for changes not being made. Because you
That's
go
right.
on Facebook, and a lot of people on Facebook are putting likes when you post things out there. A lot of people are talking about the issues, but not one of them. In January of 2021, I had sent out everything on Facebook, letting everybody know for the whole month of January 2021. I wanted everybody to make calls to the legislative members, to make calls to all these different places, the media, everything else. If everybody followed and did what they were going to or saying they were going to do, the phones would be bombarded and you would have seen changes.
Yes.
But nobody did it. So people are a lot of talk. This is what bothers me. Just like I say with what's happened, even in my own situation with my loved one, you know, having his shoulder and his knee damaged permanently because nobody, no politician, no lawyer, wanted to take the time out to go in and to meet with them to find out what all these civil rights violations entail.
What the whole story. Yes, the whole story matters.
So people say, I got your back, I got his back, I got all this stuff. It's bullshit. You know, people have to be honest with one another. And they need to get on the phone. They need to write letters. They need to do all these things like they say they're going to do. Sometimes I think there's a lot of parents out there or wives out there or girlfriends out there that really want their boyfriends or their wives or their husbands or their sons to remain in prison because either they're on drugs or they're womanizers or whatever. So they don't care if they get out because as long as they're in, they know that they're dead. And this is what happens a lot of times. These people are talking about all these issues, the civil rights violations and everything, but yet they don't want to get them out of prison for some reason. And there's a story story behind it.
They want to put them back, like you said.
So this is what
and that just makes it worse. It does.
What we have in this country, we have political leaders that talk a lot and don't do anything. We have political leaders, whether it be national, federal, or state, or whatever. We have these people that are all about money. Anything that's going to bring in money, they want to do it. And anything that is going to bring them power, they would turn into Satan just to get up there and be in the upper class instead of
an
looking at human
on
beings.
The spectrum. Yep.
So these are the issues we need to talk about. We know what a lot of you have gone through, what a lot of people have gone through, what a lot of our loved ones are going through, even inside the damage that's being done to them, the permanent damage, while everybody sits around talking money and power and fame. So this is the problem in the United States. We have mass incarceration because we live in a vengeful country. We live in a country that retaliates. We live in a racist country. We live in a country that's lacking in security, so they have to keep up with the Joneses, their peers, and they will turn on their own mother to be with somebody that's in higher power, exclusive. But we need to take the lead. We need to take the lead. And those people on Facebook, all the groups we belong to that are doing so much talk, let's see them do action. Let's see them take their fingers and put them on the phone and call, make some calls. Because we have so many people, I hate to say it, but the people that don't do anything and expect everybody to do it for them, those people, they're just as bad as the government officials. And those are the people out there that have loved ones inside. They're just as bad as anybody else because they're not taking any action. You know, I go on the I go on the internet, and if I'm trying to find some help for somebody that's having a civil rights violation, I'll go on the internet like I'm putting it on a piece of paper, and I'll put down advocates for civil rights violations of prisoners in whatever state it is.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll put down advocacy help for a prisoner in a certain – I put down whatever I think of comes to my mind, I go on the internet and I type it in and I get all kinds of information. So these people that do so much talking can actually make some calls, write some letters, join some more prison advocacy groups, do something.
You bring up a good point there. If anybody wants to, you know, reach out anyway, you can, you know, like she was saying, you can go to legacyprograms.net. And on a few clicks away, there's the inmates and the loved ones, we'll call them, not inmates, they're loved ones. Excuse me for saying that, but you can write to them. And, you know, I'd be willing to donate to help out with the stamps. I wouldn't mind. You know that? And so those out there, please don't hesitate. Don't think about that there's not a way. I don't have money. I don't have you don't have the time? But they have the time. They got the time to sit in a jail cell that's a 20 by 3, if you call it that. Or if you're in the hole because the guard has a bad day and throws him in a chute, that's three walls by, you know, 3x3. But yet, let me hand you a meal through a slot, like a mail slot. You let them eat out of a mail slot, but you won't mail them and write to them and show them your support of some sort. Like, hey, my name's Sucky Seth. I just want to say, you know what? You're not alone.
Yes, that
you're
right
not
there.
You're not abandoned. There's people out here that care about you. What is your story? What is it that you have?
Yeah.
You know, tell your story. Tell your moment of what you went through. Don't be shy. Don't hold back no more. You know what? Those people that want to know everything that you've done, but yet sit there and cast stones and say, you know what? You've had a messed up life. Yeah, you know what? Everybody has. We are. The prisoner's the worst. The prison's the worst.
Yeah. And you are, and I don't mean to chime in. Y'all, this is so powerful for me. I've been in tears on and off. That's exactly on point. Is they need human contact, human relation. And let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you just, maybe you got picked up shoplifting, maybe you got picked up any crime, DUI, whatever it is. When you go in right now, after 2020, what I've been experiencing now, this is powerful, you guys, 15 days, Mandela law states that 15 days in confinement should be considered mental torture. And I say that because right now with COVID, I know that my personal inmate situation that I'm advocating for is he's been in 35 days now, and he has seen general population one time due to COVID quarantine, lack of classification processing. He has not had any video visits. And because he's had to leave by emergency medical, which is still ultimately being neglected because he has his intestines strapped to his body right now, he also, when you go to the emergency room, doesn't matter, DUI, simple thing might only get a week in jail for, you go back in for another 14 days and they start it all over again and you're locked down 23 hours a day.
I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to say it real fast and I'll just go back to what you were saying. There's a prison, I believe, don't quote me, but Virginia, I think it is, comes to mind. They hold you for a certain amount of days upon intake. When you first get admitted, just being admitted, you have to be in solitary confinement for them to analyze you.
Red Onion Prison. It sounds like it anyway. But I wanted to say, there's some new callers. I want to just get them. I want them to be okay. We have, I'm going to say the last four, 0467.
That might be 1127. Is that me?
No,
okay.
That's
15.
Okay.
Okay, we have 1176 is who?
That's Lawrence.
Okay, Lawrence, who is 7636?
That's Brady.
Okay, 2846.
Melissa.
0467.
Christine.
Okay, Christine, I want to hear from you. And then we have 1111. And Lawrence, you got dropped a couple of times. Was that accidental, or was that? I mean, did you drop? Did you drop, or did it the station drop you?
No, that was my. I was traveling, so I was going through some dead zones. I've been trying to do this from the car, so it has been easy.
Okay, I want to hear from Christy. I want to hear from Christine, and then maybe you, Lawrence.
I don't really have much to say, just that I'm going to school for administrative justice and corrections to be a parole officer or probation. I'm currently working on orphanage actually with Lawrence's website, so legacyprograms.net. Like you said, we have the cards for incarceration, and that's where you can actually write to be incarcerated. So I'm actually at work right now. So I just want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you guys, Sam, Leona, and I believe Melissa. I hope you guys have a wonderful day. And if you ever need to reach out, I'm always here 24/7. I'm a great listener, and I can help you out. I do have a legal background, and you can just contact me anytime.
I want to thank you for studying to be a probation officer or parole officer, because we need some good ones right now. They're talking a lot about parole reform, and right now that's a big thing in Massachusetts. They're talking a lot about parole reform, because that has a lot to do with prisoners not being let out either.
Well, and it's not just them letting us out. It's also about what resources are they letting us out with. For instance, when I was released after a 20-year sentence, they told me I would have 90 days in a motel to cover to get on my feet. They told me that I had all these job options and these programs. I got denied by four programs that are meant to support us, to meant to let me go get food, hygiene, job opportunities, to go to use a computer to look for a job, how to do a resume. Four of them shot me down, and that was because they were funded or they were being ran and screened through the sheriff's department. Well, I had to go back to my county commitment. I didn't get a fresh start, and I go back all the way to 9 years old, my very first crime. So they had all this stats on me and all these this paper trail, and when it was time for me to ask for, and I was in need, they denied me. So that's why I got pissed off and I started Legacy Programs, because I know what it takes for the reentry for a successful and permanent stay. I know what it takes to make it through a day, because I went through the mental anguish. It was more mentally. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I was suicidal, how many times I had nervous breakdowns and emotional breakdowns in public. And that's what drove me. I didn't allow that to keep me down. Because I believe that I'm stronger than the system. The system can't break us. And, you know, we start from the bottom to the top. And I'll be damned if I sit back and I play and I'm a victim anymore, and them giving me a title and living up to their expectations. Like, I'm a human being. I am Lawrence freaking Drink. In Latin, it means victorious. So this is my way of sticking it back to them. Revenge, the best way to get revenge is success. And that's why at Legacy Programs, we have it meets everything. It meets down to relationships, to marriages, to mental health. It means we address so many things in one setting. And what we try to do is we work well with others. Like, if there's something we can't do, we're going to reach out to somebody that can. Because the most important thing, it's not about a title, an ego. It's about a cause. And this cause, damn it, will succeed. We will win this war eventually. Battle by battle, but we can only do that with each other. And that's why it's important. We can depend on the government and society and the system to help us. We have to help each other help each other. And that's what Legacy is. We come together in one room, in one direction, in one love to really support each other, either time, financially, whatever anyone can do. There's nothing too small that you can't offer to assist. And so that's why that's why what we do is right now we're working on donations. You know, we don't charge to send a family member or somebody reentering back into society for this program. What it is you could donate a dollar, you could donate your time, and we're building people up to be later mentors for other people because our mentors are formerly incarcerated. Our mentors know what it takes to succeed, and they know what it takes to fail. So we use that, and hopefully that gravitates towards the youth, where they see that there's a support network, that there's something worth in their community, and they want to be part of that rather than a gang or some coping mechanism like drugs or alcohol. So when you have a community that's for you, you can't fail. And that's one thing I learned living with my pastor for 90 days and his lovely wife, the church I actually burglarized when I was 15. they didn't hold that against me. They didn't see me as a crime. They saw me as a hurting human being, and I hurt other people. And they built me up to what I'm able to do today. And that's why our program is so successful. I mean, we have, like, less than a 1%. Only one person has gone back to jail on a violation, and that was due to them really messing with him. But in advocacy, it's important that we come together, we work together, and we depend on each other. And, you know, I'm asking for everybody. You know, there's organizations like New Vision Organization Donate. You know, there's some tough stuff going on right now that's not out there, but we need all the assistance we can get. And these are programs that between Legacy, New Vision, organization, you have a Warrior Within. These are programs and organizations that are actually going to take this money and these resources and put them to good use. They're not going to be wasted. They're not going to be in our pockets. I mean, it's like in small business, if I do a small business right now, everyone's going to sit there and support small businesses. Well, in this sense, it's the same thing. We're asking for the little guys to come together and form one big army. And together,
that's right.
we could sit there. I'm going to mess up their count in the prison system. I don't care. You know, because my worst day out here is my best day in there. And I'm going to sit here and mess up their count to where when they go by a bunk and it's empty, that's because we did it. Not because I did it, but we did it. And that's my whole goal is I'm messing up their count. I'm making sure it's one less $100,000 for that year. And if we focus on keeping our loved ones and the formerly incarcerated out, we attack the recidivism. They can't – if no one's going back, you know, I get it. Some people belong in prison. But you know what? Majority don't. Majority people just need therapy. Majority people just need somebody to talk to. They need a community to be part of. So what we do is our reentry starts when you go in. You know, you get an advocate. We start the networking for your community before you even get out. And that's how we are so successful because while you're in there, you're being shown role models. You're being shown examples of what a human being does and how kindness overcomes pain. And so that's just what we do. And you know what? There's other people out there like us do the same thing. And but like I said, you know, Legacy wouldn't be what it is today if it wasn't for the people that donated their time. Time is the most precious thing that anyone could ever give because it's non-refundable and it's limited.
Well, you talk about refundable. I have to say this, but it's not about it, but unfortunately there are things in there that they, you know, can't pay for. And that's why we ask for, you know, donations on legacyprograms.net. And that's because there's toothbrushes, there's hygiene kits, there's parole packets, there's papers, there's faxes. The government's not going to pay for that. The people have to care for the people. And, you know, the letters are great. Letters are wonderful. They're your loved ones. You know, like Mother's Day. How would the inmate in there, of a woman of child of two or child of four or child of one?
Yeah.
Or maybe a child that's deficiency or has some kind of learning disability or growing thing, but the mother can't be there because she's falsely accused of something in prison.
Yep.
Or the guard had a bad day, so he slaps on another charge. Or you can't pay for dental, but your tooth is hurting, and you need Tylenol. So you write a kite, not a request, not a asking, not a pleading, not saying mommy of somebody's loved one of today is Mother's Day of all days. Put yourself in the prison in their shoes for just 1 second. For those of you on Facebook that I messaged and you're listening right now, thank you so much. But I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I haven't been to prison. There are things in there that I just read about that have continuously happened. And the person asks for a Tylenol for their tooth because it's killing them. It's hurting them. but they don't get it for 3 days. And I'm not talking about the medicine. I'm talking about the nurse just got the note.
Yep.
The nurse just got the note. You still haven't had your medicine because your tooth is killing you. But it's been 3 days. And you're sitting in a 3x whatever cell, and you're sitting there. You wish to God you had something to drink. You wish to God there was a vending machine or a button or something that you can go to without a guard. Maybe a woman goes through her menstrual cycle. Have a heart for a minute, people. Have a heart. And realize that these women go through natural birth requirements that are upon life, breathing people. And you sit there and say, well, all you know, the donations help. I'm promising you. There's women in there that go through all these things and then some, and then the feelings, and then the mistreatment. So tell me on Mother's Day, of all days, they want to appreciate a letter. They want to appreciate some kind of pair of socks.
You know, in the Bible, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against the darkness, the powers, the principalities. We are in a spiritual warfare in this country and around the world. Okay. And so these people in the prisons, and you speak of the women in prison, Lowell Prison, the prison in Florida, is a women's prison where they recently found out that all of these women were being raped by the prison COs, the guards, and the officials. This is happening in the prisons around the country. And one of the things is we need to also look. You mentioned somebody's teeth. I noticed the other day someone on Facebook was saying that her loved one, they did permanent damage on his teeth, on his jaw.
Yeah.
And because I had mentioned these clinical trials, these clinical research where they have, you know, a lot of times they offer people in the communities money to participate in these clinical studies. And I think that everybody should start. And someone said, well, they can mess up an inmate, a prisoner. Well, they can mess up a prisoner. But if the prisoner is already permanently damaged, they want to try to undo the damage that was done in some way. So they're willing to participate in these clinical trials. Now, what we need to do is call these major hospitals and ask them if they can consider going into these prisons and or getting these prisoners and doing these clinical research or these clinical studies with them, so that whatever damage has been done by the prison provided medical providers and the prison surgeons who are operating in these prison hospitals, and they are going after any prisoner that has filed any kind of grievances or lawsuits.
Right.
Because the damage
right.
that was
like,
done in my loved one situation was also done 2 years ago to another prisoner.
And I'm sure that's what's on its way for Jamie. You know, he's in a critical, what his surgeon on the outside says could be life-threatening. You know, his intestines have started to shut down as of 3.5 weeks ago. And it's funny you mentioned Tylenol, Tylenol 5 days it took to get Tylenol to him when the emergency room that sent him back on quarantine, they said that they gave him pain medication there and said that he needed to be in surgery within a week and follow up with his surgeon within 3 days. And it's tragic because all of this should have been a mental health eval that turned into his wrongful accusation and placement into ADC. And in that time, he has literally lost everything he built up post-release after 17 to 27 in Florida. And it's just tragic because it's here in Virginia. It's everywhere. It's every state, y'all. Everybody's being medically neglected due to societal label. My own family wouldn't stand up for Jamie, but they would stand up for me. Because they can't, you know, drop down. They saw him hurt me in different ways, but they didn't totally see me hurt him in the ways I did. But because they love me and they're trying to protect me, even though I have forgiveness within my heart for myself and for Jamie, the fact is he's a human being. And that's all I see right now. He is a friend that I care about because he's a human being and he doesn't deserve to be medically neglected or have his life in jeopardy because a system built for us failed us on, you know, failed attempts to get help for suicide.
Yeah.
That's literally what this started out with. He was 2 years post-release and he was suicidal because he got triggered by something. And he had already attempted suicide once back in 2019, shortly after release, because he went to the system and said, I need help. And he was turned away.
The system failed him.
He was turned away and he almost lost his life.
And sometimes suicidal tendencies can turn into homicide. And this is a sad thing, too, because if they don't get the help right away, we never know which way they're going to go. And a lot of them are in prison now because that suicidal tendency became a homicide instead. And we need,
you know what?
We need to make calls. We need to make calls on behalf of people, and we need to push for these clinical trials, these clinical research to involve the prisoners, men and women, and youth as well. It's that simple.
And we must
The thing about medical is this is what the outside does not know. Everyone talks about you know how many times I heard the COs sit there and say, you guys get the best dental. Let me tell you something.
Oh, wow.
I went for surgery, for a major surgery, after I saved the CO's life, actually. Not only was I supposed to get a year off, they took only 3 months off because they said that's all it was worth. Then,
wow.
On top of that, all they gave me for the pain medication was Tylenol. And they sit there, and even though the doctor was recommending stronger medication because I almost lost my right eye, they sat there and said, nope. My wife called the federal overseers, and they sat there and said, well, the CDC is given all they're required is minimum treatment. As long as they're meeting the needs. Their standard needs to change because their standard is only Tylenol. That's their standard. As long as they're giving us Tylenol and they're seeing us, even if it's in a two-week period, that's all that they are required to do. So
and they don't even do that?
No, they didn't. I went for, I think, 2 surgeries because of it, and every time the doctor kept recommending, saying he needs to be on this medication, I suffered from an infection. Sat there, and they didn't do anything about it. And even though the doctor was saying he needs this, he needs that, they were still denying it at the prison, saying, nope, it stops right here. And I had the prescription paper.
Yep.
And and that's what we get. So the medical system inside the prison is very mediocre. It's not I went for a dentist or a doctor's here, and the treatment is completely different. I'm going for dental, and I explained to them about my teeth. They sat there and said that was 20 years out of date. 20 years out of date, and that's what they're doing now. And they're charging up to $600 for a partial.
Yep.
And so you're calling that good treatment? You're calling that
Lawrence,
humanization?
That's real quick. That's pretty interesting you say that. Just touch bases on something. You know, I went to the courthouse recently, and to compare, you know, to what you're saying of having funding or saying you get the best medical treatment, you're right. They may think that and say that, but let me tell you something. When I went to court, they bring up your own dirty laundry of something that you've done years ago that has nothing to do with anything. You completed classes, you completed, you know, your drug treatment, or you completed your alcoholism, or you completed therapy, or whatever it may have been. That's a self-inflicted wound. You healed yourself up, you patched yourself up, you moved on, and it's been 10 years ago, but for some reason you step in the courtroom and the district attorney wants to bring up your old dirty laundry like it matters.
And
but yet you were cleared. So when you say more,
Yes, ma'am.
That's exactly it.
When someone's killed in the street by a police officer, what do they do instead of bringing up the police officer's past history of abuse? They bring up the they bring up their past. Somebody that just committed a murder.
Yeah, this wasn't his first. Exactly, it wasn't the inmate. But then again, it wasn't the first time. But you know, it's like it's sunny, but it's still raining out.
For all inmates.
This is,
Yes.
And homeless.
But nobody wants to see. No one wants to see the rain. No one wants to, you know, say what the weather really is.
That's right.
Well, that's why it's important. It's important that we go back ourselves. And, you know, I was talking to a former inmate that was released, and I posted something, and he goes, and he tells me, hey, you know, if you can, don't post anything. I don't want people knowing I was in prison. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But me, like, this is my time to shine. I am a huge voice, and I'm loud as hell and annoying at that. So, I mean, for all the former inmates, it is our responsibility to go back. And not all of us can have this ability. Not all of us have this desire. But for the ones that do, I encourage everyone and anyone to go back for our brothers and our sisters. Because the thing is, when we think about this pandemic that we're in of mass incarceration, because it's been a pandemic, but it's been ignored. The coronavirus has nothing on mass incarceration. That's no disrespect to the victims, the people that fell ill. This has something to do with a bigger picture. But no one ever thinks about the solution until it happens to one of their loved ones. Everybody wants to sit there and act like it doesn't exist, but it does. And so what we try to do is we have to get ahead of the ball. We want to make sure this doesn't happen to anyone out there that isn't doesn't have to be affected by it. We want to make sure that we're the guinea pigs and we're the ones on the front line for you.
Right.
And the thing is, if I wake up every day and I go to sleep every night with this mentality, I'm going to make the world a better place. I'm going to leave people places better than I found them. And that's our whole goal. But we need each other. I mean, we can't do this alone. And like I say, there comes a time when something happens and someone's like, wow, I need help now. Well, you weren't there for anyone else. So, we don't turn anyone away. We're here for you. But this is a new day era. We have all these things going for us. We need to take advantage of them. We need to apply them. And we need to start asking for these big funding, these places that give all this money and this funding and these grants, stop funding these ineffective programs and organizations. They are crap. The ACLU is crap. The majority of these organizations are just a face, and they pocket the money. Go to small time. Go to the people that you see their work on Facebook. You see their work on radio.
You
see their work everywhere. Yeah, support your small business, your small organizations, because I'm telling you, we're going to get everyone together. And if we become big enough to where our voice is booming, we can overcome all this
make a difference
going on.
And if I could just chime in real quick, and I don't mean to stop you. I just feel that this part is so important to everything you just said, is that we need these people to rise. But what we need right before that is for people to realize that, because for me, I knew I was making a difference, but I didn't know that I could change the world because of my programming. Because everything says that with my background and lack of education that I couldn't. But the fact remains is that each and every one of us can. And what I saw in, when I tried to do my civil rights activism with my peaceful candlelight vigil and for the prisoners outside, I wrote all over my car, you matter, you are more, you are loved. And they let me do that for 36 hours. And I went and I cleaned up their lawn because I was killing daytime. I picked up cigarette butts and trash because that's natural justice. I, had once thrown cigarettes and trash on the ground. So I was doing natural justice. I sat outside the windows of Prince William County Adult Detention Center,
and I stood alone because my family couldn't stand for Jamie. But inmates' families joined me, and it was beautiful. And we made sure they knew that people cared and loved
them. That's right.
And we've got to speak to them because that's like, and I don't mean to say, but it's like the bottom of the barrel, and we treat our people so horrible in there. And everything that's been said today has resonated. We have all got to know you are worth knowing, that you can change the world by simply valuing yourself, doing what you love, and realizing we're all one. We got to recognize it, honor it, and respect it. We are all one. And everything affects all of us in some way, shape, or form. And we're all organizations, I do believe, matter, but we've got to make sure that we know we can make a difference. Even if you are homeless, you have nothing, you're struggling for food, all those organizations, they tell you are supposed to be there. They're not always there. Just like we've got to mentally self-sustain ourselves because the system, I was exercising my civil rights and well within law. They put me into a 4-day mental health eval because I wouldn't take their medication. They told me I was going to stay there longer. Luckily, I stayed true to myself, and that's what I'm saying. You've got to stay true to yourself. You got to love, because I did that, and I was in there completely, you know, I was cigarette-free. I was any toxin-free, and I was hydrated, and I knew I didn't need sedated. And that's the point, is the system, whether it's mind-numbing with headlines that don't matter or shouldn't as much anyway as our human rights, they will try at every end to take your voice. And we all of our voices, it doesn't matter your background or anything, all of your voices matter, and they can change the world one single person at a time. And, I mean, I was homeless just last year, and things aren't all that great right now, but they are because it's well within my soul, because today I stand. I am a survivor of many adversities, but I am a life soldier. And life soldiers, we don't leave a fallen brother behind, period. And that's what we just need to stand and unite. We can do this, y'all. We can. The tides they're turning, and the power is great in relation and connection. And even you know, Lawrence, with your organization, the power I felt in somebody believing that my voice mattered, and it's been happening, you know, over the last 6 months, little by little, but just somebody believing in you and hearing you and really listening, just that in itself is so healing and powerful, empowering, I should say. You know, I would love if, you know, joining forces is the absolute right answer. I've got kindness cards on the ground to people. I'd love people joining together for candlelight vigils outside of inmates, because not all of them get phone calls. Not all of them have money for, I started a pen pal service thing. We can do better, and every one of us is worth better. Not just worth better tomorrow, but worth better right now. And we've got to act right now, because after 2020, y'all, it's going to get scary, more scary than it has been. And life experience, like we've talked about today, is powerful and so very valuable. Your suffering is valuable for purpose, because it can help others. As soon as we just open up and drop labels, your friend didn't want to post about prison because labels say he's less of a person because he's been there. And fact remains, if I was put to trial and jury for every one of my sins, then Lord knows I'd probably have several life sentences.
We have the country of the so-called righteous who believe that they don't ever sin. So here we have a lot of critiques. We have a lot of cliques. We have a lot of people that will defend each other that are doing the same thing that many that are in prison are doing. But I wanted to say, and I'll tell you, Melissa, that I've been listening to you talk the whole time, and I noticed that you do have a lot of pain in you, because sometimes it's almost like you sound like you want to just let it all out. And I guess you are going through a lot right now in the situations. Sometimes families are not there when you most need them. But I wanted to say, we have about 9 minutes left, And I want both you and Lawrence and anyone else that wants to give the audience your contact information, your website, your email, your Facebook page. Try to do it slowly so that they can understand what the email, the contact information is. So I'll let you both go on that.
Go ahead, Melissa. Ladies first.
Thank you, guys. And thank you again for hearing that. It is a lot of pain. It's a lot of passion for my brothers and sisters, too. My email is a warrior, so a warrior within project at gmail.com. A warrior within project at gmail.com. And then you can find me on Facebook. If you just search a warrior within project, that page will pop up for you. And there's more information about, you know, what I'm doing, my 5, 10, 15 year plans. And, you know, however I can help, if anybody reaches out, I'm also able to get different people on other podcasts and into Legacy. I love what Legacy is all about. That's beautiful. So thank you, guys. I appreciate all of you.
Thank you for coming on today. And you could find legacyprograms.net and all our services and everything we provide is on there. Also, you know, before you invest into these advocates, listen to their stories. You know, that's one of the biggest thing is that you could really see what a person's doing with your time and your donations by listening to their story and giving somebody their voice, even for an hour, you know, it makes a difference and we need each other. And so, like I said, legacy.net, you could find me on Facebook, Legacy Programs. You could also Gmail me at legacyprogramseducation@gmail.com. And like I said, we're there for the families, for the communities of the incarcerated. And we believe on getting you out before you're even out. And that's what we have to do. We have to free you mentally, spiritually, before we could free you physically. And we're working on that part. But until then, it's our job to make sure that we are their voice and that we are there for them. And a huge shout out to all the prison, Pure Prison Forum. We are their voices on Facebook. You have the Brian Sisterhood. I mean, you have so many things going for us out there, which Lynn's one of the admins on that group. So, like I say, just reach out, ask for help. And if Legacy can't provide it, if a warrior within can't provide it, we will find somebody for you. We will get the job done. And I want everybody to.
I must say, there's no such thing as a dumb question. It's just dumb if you stay quiet. You don't speak up and say something, you know? So be the artist to your canvas, as I always tell my brother. You know, don't let someone else paint on your canvas. But, Lawrence, thank you so much for sharing, bro. I really appreciate you, admire you, and the people that you connect with, including this lady on here. And the Blog Talk Radio, I got to give it to her of her situation, of her son. You know, she's a mother, too. And she's standing here fighting on this, not to beat a dead horse, but thank you to the ladies today. Thank you for speaking up.
Thank you,
ladies. We need a pro bono warrior for that.
Just got to pray for everybody. Everyone's got to pray, you know?
Yes.
That's all I got to say. I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Someone just came in. Or did they drop and come back in again?
I'm still here.
2968.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm still here. Testing 1-2
on
the mic.
It's Christine.
Okay, Christine, you drop. Okay, because I was trying to see. There's still. Jesus.
Brady.
Okay.
Too.
Brady, are you on with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you have anything to say?
I'm all wrapped up. I just said you just gotta pray for everybody, even the good, the bad.
Okay, thank you so much, Brady. I didn't pick up on your voice. It sounded like you, but then it sounded like somebody else was coming on. So we have 0467. We have 1-1-1-1-1-1-7-6.
That's me.
Okay, and 1-1-7-7-6-3-6.
Hey, Leona.
Uh-huh.
That's Brady.
Just 1 second.
I just need to say, you know, thank you, Christine, for everything you did. You helped me with my website. You are one of the backbones of very many of Legacy, and we couldn't do it without you. Thank you so much for all the time and effort you put into us.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
I wanted to say, Christine or Melissa, one of you, when you said warrior, your email, was that warrior with an A or an O? W?
So it's A warrior, so it's O.
Okay.
So W-A-R-R-I-O-R.
No,
warrior.
Okay, W-A. Okay. That's what I was wondering.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, W-A-R-R-I-O-R. A warrior
okay.
within
Thank
project.
You.
I just want to say, listening to all of you today has given so much insight into the problems that all people in the communities, in their homes, the homes of others throughout the country that are facing so many situations full of pain and sorrow and suffering. I get upset sometimes when I see these movies that are making so much money on television and the theaters of, you know, violence and of torments and tortures and tragedies, and they're making money off of it. They don't see enough in this country of the abuses that go on. They don't see enough pain, sorrow, and suffering. They have to make movies about it. And this is so damaging. And I get so upset when I see these things happening and people buying into it. You don't need to go to a movie to see these because people are living it live. Mm-hmm. People are going through so much. Lawrence, I want to thank you. I want you to finish up. We have a couple of minutes left. But I also want to say next Sunday, you're going to do the show. I'm going to listen, but I'm going to let you do all the inviting and talking and letting others talk as well.
Oh, you, Leona, you do such a great job. I remember about 5 months ago you gave me a spot on this show, and ever since then I flourished, and I've been able to grow and be able to share this and give other people's voices, and just thank you for this opportunity and what you've done for me and all the conversations and time you put in.
Well, the thing is, that's what it's all about. You know, people need to come together. And like you said, Lawrence, we need to fight for ourselves because we're not getting it from the government. We're not getting it from a lot of advocates. We're not getting it from a lot of people out there that are talking and no action. So I appreciate all of you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melissa.
You have a beautiful story.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And you all, too. I'm touched, and my heart is full just after this discussion. And thank you all. God bless.
Yeah,
and I'm also
to with
you. You just stay strong. You just stay strong.
I'm sorry? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And every one of y'all, too. We got this. We can do this.
We can. Yes. We're saving the world.
I want to also let the audience know, I'm going to be saying this at the end of every show anyway, but this program is made possible through generous donations from the listeners like you. So if any of you would like to continue the podcast, would like to donate, please do so with New Vision Organization. And I will be giving the information as to how or when once the website has been reconstructed. So I want to thank you all again for being on the show. And look forward to next week, same time, same station, 3:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And all of you will be able to listen more to the stories. And if you want to call in and tell your story, please feel free to. So thank you so much, Lawrence. Thank you for bringing your guest on.
Yeah, absolutely. We love you. And we're here for John.
Okay. Thank you so much. We are now going to be signing out. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
God bless.